It's time for the Mount Vernon Wildcat Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. Wildcats football is brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, United Fidelity Bank, Auto Car Trader, Crane Credit Union, Expressway Chevrolet, Bud's Hardware, the Mount Vernon M Club, Expressway Jeep, Team Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty, Russell's Excavating, Keitel Eye Care, GAF, and Tequila's.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Mount Vernon High School Football Coaches Show. I'm Alan Buck. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI, PoseyCountyRadio.com. I'm sitting here with Coach Justin Fisher. We're coming off the heels of the 49-7 victory Friday night over Sal Spencer. And, Coach, first thing, everybody come out healthy?
We did. So we had a week where we came out healthy, so that was an added bonus to a win. Yeah, so that was that's always a great thing.
I got to say, this has happened to me before, but never on the very first play of the game. I was writing something down, had my head down. I look up, and Krieger is hitting the, I don't know if it was a linebacker or a half, but defensive halfback, hitting him, knocking him backwards. Then he sprinted to the sideline and took it up the side. I don't know who opened the hole. It was a huge hole, apparently.
Yeah, but just ran power, power right. And so the offensive line did a really good job there. And when you watch from the end zone view, the camera.
Oh, I love that.
There was a huge hole there. Then pretty much Shane did the rest from there, was able to bounce off a tackle and then get to the sideline. And that was a great way to start the game. I think it was right around a 70-yard touchdown to put us up on the first play from scrimmage. So that was a great way to start.
And I thought Logan Clowers did a great job. Mm-hmm. He tried as he could to hold or block in the back, and he held off.
Yeah.
And then Krieger turned the guy around, then Logan got the block, and he got in the end zone.
Yeah, Logan was just kind of able to shield him there.
Yep.
And those guys have been doing a pretty good job on the perimeter blocking our receivers. I think that's been a little better than it was last year.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that. That's what I wanted to bring out, because I watch in different one, whoever's caught the ball, that's not the show. The show is who are these other wide receivers that are out with him blocking. Somebody, I didn't see who it was that sprung Nash on his shorter of his two touchdowns.
We ran a screen pass there, so there was a lot of offensive linemen out front. Nate Tinsley, Lewis Allen got a piece of somebody. Yeah. So there was a couple linemen. I might be forgetting somebody there, but there was a couple linemen out front that actually got in some of those defensive back safeties way in space, so that was able to assist Nash in that touchdown.
Yeah, that was a pretty good I kind of wondered, was he ever going to take off, because you're kind of dancing around, but he found his hole.
Yeah, they had him kind of caged in there, but he has a tendency to kind of
he's got some quick feet,
do that stuff.
Do your wide receivers have any competition with each other about who throws the best blocks, because they all block for each other?
Well, I think it's been a point of emphasis. Maybe last year it wasn't up to par, and I think, you know, Coach Red Snodgrass is the one that coaches those guys, and I've known on a couple instances where he's got after him pretty good. So I think it's just repetition and practice. You know, he making an emphasis daily, and I think as a result, you know, we got pretty good kids, and so they try to do the right thing, and I think that's been an area where it can always get better, but I think there's at least been a concerted effort on their part to try to get in people's way, to shield them, to get a block, to help whoever the ball carrier might be.
Yeah, absolutely, and those are the things. Well, like I said, Krieger would have had a 61-yard run from scrimmage. Instead, he got a 66-yard and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Because of that little shield. So, the one thing that you have that I don't keep, you got some defensive statistics. Who did the job the other night?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to look at this. I'm just going down the list here. Bryson Riggin was a kid who's a freshman who, because of some depth issues, got to play quite a bit for us at cornerback. Number two, he had five tackles and two passes broken up. I think it was a good learning experience for him, too. He showed some bright spots, and there's a couple times that he got beat a little bit just because of that's going to happen when you're a freshman, you don't have the inexperience. Sometimes your eyes can get in the wrong spot and the receiver get past you, and that happened one time in man coverage. Going down the list here, Alan, talking about other ones, Logan Clowers obviously had another good night. Had a few tackles for us, but the big thing was he had a 98-yard interception return. And going back through the annals of Mount Vernon football history, I thought it might be a record. It's actually second. There was a 100-yard interception return in Tell City in the 1960s, I think.
Uh-huh.
So as long as Mount Vernon's been playing football, that's the second longest return in school history of 98
yards. That's
pretty
special.
It is. And then I was looking in the record books, too. I don't know if we ever had this happen. I don't know if we didn't keep track of this record. I don't know if there's ever been two interceptions returned in the same game, so that's not really something that we keep track of.
That's a season for a safety.
Yeah.
Now, to do it in one game, and, you know, look at the week that kid had. On the fifth, he intercepts a pass from against the number two team in the state, falling down, and that becomes the play of the week. Then,
right.
Then he's a crowned homecoming king. Then he goes 98 yards for a touchdown and 40 yards for another one. That's a pretty. Is he just going to quit and retire? I mean, that's pretty strong.
We hope not. You know, I think he's probably one of the better cover guys in the conference, especially when he's locked. I think he, and so we usually give him that assignment. Pretty crafty out there. And then on the 98 yard interception return, you know, we kind of had an automatic check to one of their bunch formations. We didn't want to play man to it. And he was very patient, just sat there.
Yeah.
And the running back wheeled out to him, and they threw it. And then he –
He's a basketball player. He's got those hands.
He's got pretty good speed at the sideline, too. So he was picking him up, putting him down.
Yeah, he was.
As he was going. So.
Yeah, I told you about the fly ball and the sectionals.
Right.
No chance he could get to the ball, and he laid out for it. And, I mean, the kid's got some legs on him.
I was there for that one, too. That was impressive as well. So for home team – Friday play of the night, not actually the 98 yard interception return because the news wasn't there. It's the second one, but so he's had a couple good weeks. Going down the list here, Shane Krieger had, this is an interesting stat, he had two more tackles for loss, one on a fourth down. Shane now has 9 tackles for loss in 4 games. I think that's impressive.
Very coming from a linebacker spot.
Yeah. And that's the type of talented player he is, so we got to continue to have that for him.
I asked you before the season started, when I watched him, it looks like he is getting a track man start. He blasts off so quickly, and I wondered, did that come from the strength and conditioning coach or just his determination to make something happen or what?
I think that comes from him being really aggressive.
Well, he sure is that.
And then Easton Hall had a good night. He had 6 assists. So I think that's just a testament to his ability to always hustle to the football. And he also had a sack. And Schickel picked up a sack on the evening, too. So some of those are some of the people that jump off the page. St. Henderson had a few quarterback hurries and a few stops. I think St. was got to go back and maybe do a couple things as far as teaching wise with him. Saint's a very talented player.
Oh yeah!
And over the next couple weeks, you know, him and Krieger have to be really good at inside linebacker as we get down the schedule here. So those two guys are going to be pivotal. And so as we go through, those are the defensive things that pretty much stood out on the night. Spencer didn't have much in the rushing category. They did complete some passes. We had a couple things defensively, trying some different combinations of young kids where they got us on a couple things, but. Total offense was 434 here to 203 on the night, so that's kind of wraps up defensively.
Yeah, that's and I had them passing at 7 for 14. I mean, yeah, you're right. They completed some, but 50%. Well, that's not the worst thing in the world. And if you're trying new things,
that's kind of thing. We probably didn't have our best 11 players defensive on the field at one time because we were trying different combinations of people. Just because realistically, we're only going to be in the fifth week of the season. So we guess still got a long way to go. A lot of things can happen. So the more experience you can get people playing on Friday night, probably the better.
Absolutely. And once again, Brady Schickel did break another record. Every time he gets a sack, he breaks a record.
That's true. So
Nolan Ryan got tired of doing that too, you know, every. But,
You know, by the season end, he should push that thing out there pretty good. So
yeah,
I don't know if that will be broke for a long time.
You guys have had a good succession of defensive ends, but he's surpassed. I mean,
well, you have to be able to start for 4 years, which is not—that's not common.
That's
so
right.
That's you know, you have to have some, you know, 3 or 4 years of being able to play. So I don't, you know, that might not ever be.
Yeah, he had double digits his freshman year, didn't he? I like
close
11
to it, yeah.
or 12 or
yeah,
something
it's
like almost, that.
It's been close to it every year.
So yeah, if you do that every year, yeah, he's going to put up a big number. That's for sure. But and the other thing that you just touched on briefly. Well, we're on defense. What the heck? And your kicking game, Mason Higginson, and he's got to make he had to make Grant Doherty proud. He made a tackle on the kickoff.
He did. I thought he got a little shook up there, but he ended up being okay, so that's good. And he 7 for 7 on PATs on Friday night. Some of them, he wasn't striking them as cleanly as he has in the past, so
He hesitates sometimes because the hold, the snap might not be perfect. The hold, right. that he's got the strong enough leg to hesitate and still punch it through. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
and there have been other times too that I've said, "Well, Logan Clowers gets half of that point because it, you know, maybe a difficult job." But yep.
And that's going to be pivotal as we go on here with the kicking game when you have a couple injuries and then you're trying to give some of these starters a rest. You know, you're playing younger kids on the kickoff team, for example, and sometimes your quality gets compromised because you're trying to get people breaks. So how we kick the ball, you know, where we kick it at, maybe just trying to keep teams off balance because, you know, you can't play those kids both ways and then have them run down every kickoff, ideally. Yeah. There's a couple that do, but it takes a different individual to do that. Every time I look up, Easton Hall's out there.
Yeah.
Running down on kickoff.
Does he just not come off the field when you tell him?
It's probably more of a mindset than anything, you know.
Oh, that's good.
And I think, you know, I'm trying. There's somebody else I'm missing too that I think is consistently out there both ways too.
But Weintraut's always on he's on one of the contained guys.
Yeah, and he's sometimes not necessarily a fully two way player. But we're gonna have to. I think Saint's not a full two way player either. So. Logan Clowers, I think, is on kickoff. So he's probably a kid that's out there.
He can handle an extra 50-yard dash. That's the thing. You know, it's some of those big – what's a guy – well, like Easton Hall. He carries some weight on him. That would be – that 50-yard dash would be a little tough on him, but like you said, it's his mindset. God bless him. You want more of those kind of guys on your team. But, let's take our first break. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI.
Hello, sports fans. I'm Mark Isaac, United Fidelity Bank Executive Vice President. At United Fidelity Bank, our in-person friendly service provides peace of mind and worry-free banking. We offer personal and business checking and savings accounts with no hoops and no hassles, ideal certificate of deposit rates, and our easy-to-use online banking platform allows you to bank anytime, anywhere. Our free mobile app provides you access to the accounts on the go, and you can skip the trip to the bank with mobile deposit. Plus, we are proud to offer you access to over 93,000 surcharge-free ATM locations nationwide. Now, that's a reason to come see the difference at United Fidelity Bank.
The Posey County Co-op has proudly been supporting the communities we live in since 1927. With locations in Mount Vernon, Poseyville, Griffin, St. Wendell, Hopstott, and Evansville, the Posey County Co-op is your number one spot for Asgrow and DeKalb seeds and Purina feed products. The Posey County Co-op also has you covered with their new Posey County Workwear in Mount Vernon. The Posey County Co-op, your number one agricultural resource since 1927.
Buying a used vehicle doesn't have to be difficult. And when you come to Auto Car Trader in Mount Vernon, it's not. This week's vehicle of the week is a 1991 Corvette convertible. It's an automatic with a 5.7-liter V8 with aluminum heads, intake, and outside air induction system, and a tan leather interior. And the best part? It's just broke in with 88,000 miles. Take this classic home today for just $12,990. Stop by the lot at 312 College Avenue or visit our website online at actpreowned.com. Financing is available for all credit situations at Auto Car Trader in Mount Vernon.
For over 40 years, the Mount Vernon Club has provided support necessary for the success of Mount Vernon student-athletes. Since 1971, over $250,000 has been donated to athletic programs, assisting in weight room equipment, uniforms, and granting college scholarships. The M Club sells individual bricks for Wildcat Plaza, which are great purchases for alums and class reunions. Bricks are just $35. To make a purchase, contact M Club President Scott Mitchell at 812-550-0153.
It's fall decorating time at Bud's Hardware in Mount Vernon. Get your fall mums for $9.99 each, or 3 for $27. Large pumpkins for $5.99 a piece, or 3 for $15. Cords $1 a piece, or 3 for $2. Get your fall decorations at Bud's Hardware. Open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m., and Saturday from 8 until 5. Celebrating 151 years serving Mount Vernon. Bud's Hardware on Main Street in Mount Vernon. For over 40 years, Russell's Excavating has proudly served the community. Specializing in commercial and industrial services, Russell's offers site preparation for new construction projects, demolition and industrial maintenance services, and all services are rendered with an emphasis on safety first and customer satisfaction. A proud supporter of Wildcats football is family-owned Russell's Excavating at 6800 Littered Road South in Mount Vernon. Call 812-838-2471 for Russell's Excavating.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mount Vernon Football Coaches Show. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI. I'm Alan Buck, sitting here with Coach Justin Fisher. We're talking about the South Spencer game from Friday night. There were great performances all over the place, and we talked about them from the defensive side in the first segment. We'll talk about a little bit more of the offense right now. What do you want to bring out?
Well, Coach, a little bit unusual that the fact that we only ran 37 offensive plays, that's not much. I didn't feel like that much. A lot of those 37 were the second team guys.
Yeah.
So probably first team guys, I probably only ran, gosh, it might have been somewhere around 20 plays.
Well, you had six carries for Shane Krieger.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not.
We have him five here for 102,
five,
so
okay,
just over 100.
Paxton Boyd had more than that.
Well, Paxton Boyd had 12, and that's JV, so we didn't run many varsity plays. You know, we look at the rushing stats. Krieger had five carries, and one of them was a long one, so he was able to score on that and eclipse 100 yards. But, like, Easton only had three carries on the night, and one of those we had a missed blocking assignment, or that might have probably went for – the first one might have went for 50 in itself.
Yep. Ryder had three carries, but two of them were knees.
Right.
So
we just didn't run a whole lot of offensive plays. We might have only ran 20 offensive plays with the first team or somewhere around there.
And I think it was the last carry of the game. Bryson Riggin, the freshman, was all over the field last night. It was so fun to watch him playing defense, and he found a way to get it in the end zone.
Yeah.
I know you weren't necessarily trying to score,
weren't,
but he made a great play.
Weren't. We think he has a chance to be really good.
Yeah.
He's a very talented kid. He's got some extra gears, but
he's got some acceleration. Just when you think he's hemmed in, and all of a sudden he's still going.
Yeah.
He's going up the sideline. What's he doing?
So he has a chance to be nice, a nice player. So, and then, so we didn't run a whole lot of offensive plays. That was unusual. First play of the game went for a score. Our second series, Ryder hit Brady on a little inside zone slide. A kind of a split flow look there where he caught the ball on the flat and then took it for,
back up. Define those terms for people at home.
Well, it's a run-pass option. You hear the term RPO so much.
Yeah.
Run-pass option is what RPO. So we kind of have a split flow look where the offensive line is blocking zone left there, but Brady as the H-back is sliding right. So that's the split flow. The offensive line is going one direction with the H-back going to the right. And then Ryder's got to make a read there. He saw the need to pull it, and then we have the option to throw off that. So there's where your run-pass option stuff comes off.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Brady was, like I said with Logan, was pretty fast on the sideline. Pretty,
yeah, one-yard pass and a 50-yard run after that. But the paper says Ryder Snodgrass threw a 51-yard touchdown.
That's correct.
That's the misleading thing all
well,
the time.
Well, and exactly, that's what the stats say. He was 9-for-10 for 205 yards and three touchdowns. So you know, Nash had four catches for 126, two touchdowns. I think that puts him at seven touchdowns on the year.
Yeah.
Like I said, Schickel had one. I think he's got three touchdowns receiving on the year. So, and then, you know, Clowers, Weintraut each had a catch respectively. So that's pretty much the total offense on the night was 434 yards. We felt like going into the game, you know, we talked about how they were kind of a younger team.
Right.
So we felt like we had an experience advantage and we should take care of business. I thought the offensive line was good at times. In fairness to them, we didn't have a whole lot of plays run offensively. I just think we need to clean some things up and be more physical if we're going to be successful over the next few weeks here.
In no disrespect to South Spencer, but they started six on offense, six sophomores and a freshman, and on defense, seven sophomores.
Yeah.
Your offensive line is the biggest offensive line I remember at Mount Vernon, and this is my eighth year down here. They should have controlled things.
Correct.
They should have. Do you think that they – is it difficult for them to maintain their focus to do that, or do they just kind of – we're going to win the down, but we're not going to crush them?
Possibly. That's a good question. And sometimes it's been hard to evaluate in these games because you look at our four games we've played, really none of them have been close. So it's kind of odd. When you only run 20 offensive plays, I don't know that's a really good sample size to be able to tell that. I think what Coach Merrick, who's our offensive line coach, we're very lucky to have somebody who has a vast experience of playing offensive line and teaching it. I think it's the hardest position to coach, and it's the hardest to find people that can do it. I think what he expressed to the kids, to answer your question, is sometimes we just need to be a little sharper and more focused. Maybe some of the joking around and stuff needs to subside. There's a time and a place for it, but I would say to answer your question, we just have to be a little cleaner.
Mm-hmm. The way I always tried to express it was you're not playing against that guy across from you. You're playing against your own potential. You have to be as good as you can be, not just better than him.
Right.
So
it's people's natural inclination to slack off a little bit when they
sure.
know. But the standard has to be what the standard is, and I think we can be a little better. And I think we as was better last week, but I still think we can be better during the course of the week as far as focusing in if we really want to achieve what our goals are going to be. And so that's kind of the plan. We're going to change up practice plans a little bit this week to try to give the kids a little bit of rest, and then hopefully come back ready on Tuesday to be better.
You used the term cleaner on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Little things like footwork being Absolutely. In a better position, things
yep.
like that. Yeah, and that just comes from focus. And, 49-7, it is difficult to maintain that focus. But, these guys are – and the other thing, too, you got fighting against you is these are adolescent high school boys.
Of course.
Are they thinking about their prom date or homecoming date, or are they thinking about,
and I think probably my way of trying to approach them has been different than it would have been years ago. I don't think there's one exact – some of it's art as opposed to science. The answer is not always to scream or belittle people. It's complex. It's complicated. You're dealing with human beings. You're dealing with kids, as you mentioned. And so I think we're going to send them home a little bit earlier today. It's going to be warm again this week and try to get them some rest. This is a long grind of a season. We expect a lot of these kids. By and large, they do well. I think there's a few ways we can be better, but so hopefully we send them home a little bit earlier, go to the JV game tonight, and come back on Tuesday with a renewed focus and ready to go and ready to get better for the second half of the season here.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys have really made a lot of progress. You're a very strong team. I don't, like you say, sometimes you don't believe everything you see on the field.
Right.
I don't believe that Gibson Southern was as great as they were against you, and you weren't as bad as against them.
Correct.
So combined. Well, so you guys are a real good team, but you can't walk out with the MV on your chest and win the game. So the kids have right. got to stay focused. And
we're only in week four, so the verdict's not in. I mean, we don't know how Gibson Southern at the end of the season might be one of the best teams in the state. So
I said that on the air. I said I would not bet against them winning on Thanksgiving weekend because the only thing is, can they get out of the sectional?
Sure. And it's hard to evaluate, like I said, sometimes within our own and where we're at, how good, because we haven't played a close game yet, so it's kind of unusual.
That's where your seniors will get tested. Do they have the mettle to push that close game over the top,
right.
make that play, keep the focus? I think they do, and you guys have done a wonderful job of coaching them, and I think they're really pulling together very well. But Princeton always has some really strong athletes in specialty spots, and we'll talk about them after this break. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI.
This is Justin Schmidt, Regional Manager for Crane Credit Union in Posey County. I want to remind you that Crane Credit Union is committed to serving Posey County. With three locations, familiar faces, and local decisions, we are able to offer cutting-edge products and services that you want, along with hometown feel that you deserve. When you become a member at Crane Credit Union, you're helping to support this community and the schools and organizations that matter to you. Visit us in person at one of our local branches in Poseyville, Mount Vernon, or St. Wendell, or online at cranecu.org to find out how easy it is to join. Crane Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
Expressway Chevrolet GMC is family-owned and located on the corner of Highway 62 and 69 in Mount Vernon, Indiana. The dealership was built on the principle that every vehicle buying experience should be easy but fun for the whole family. Our award-winning service department has 26 bays, 11 technicians, with 5 of them world-class. Sales is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Inventory is arriving daily, so remember to shop us before you shop anywhere else and visit us 24/7 at expressway chevrolet.com, Mount Vernon, Indiana.
Whether you were on the field playing or sitting in the stands, clear vision is important for a successful Friday night experience. Dr. Darren Keitel, with almost 30 years of work in optometry, is dedicated to giving your eyes the care they need. Keitel Eye Care is located at 1900 West 4th Street in Mount Vernon. Open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. Call Keitel Eye Care at 812-838-5526. Dr. Darren Keitel wishes head coach Justin Fisher and the Mount Vernon football team the best of luck this season.
Team Ilum of ERA First Advantage Realty has another great opportunity for you. 1613 Country Club Road in Mount Vernon is a move-in ready single-story brick home located just seconds from the Mount Vernon Country Club. You will find a perfect blend of comfort, convenience, and classic appeal. This home includes 3 bedrooms and 1.5 baths. All bedrooms are on the main level along with the laundry room, formulating a perfect setup for easy living. This ranch-styled home is located on a 0.28-acre lot and has a 2-car attached finished garage, a 7x10 metal storage shed, open spacious deck, and much more. Schedule your appointment today with Andrea by calling 812-473-4663 and check out their listings online at teammylum.com. Team Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty, going that extra mile.
GAF of Mount Vernon, North America's premier roofing and waterproofing manufacturer, proudly supports Posey County football with the mission to protect what matters most. GAF builds unmatched strength, safety, and innovation, qualities that inspire champions on and off the field. GAF is honored to stand alongside our community and cheer on the Wildcats and Vikings players as they leave it all on the field this season. Here's to a safe, successful, and unforgettable season with pride and support from your friends at GAF.
A proud supporter of Wildcats football is Tequila's Mexican Restaurant in Mount Vernon. Check out their delicious lunch, dinner, and drink specials. Dine in, carry out, and delivery available. Find their menu and order online at tequilasmexicanrestaurant.com. Satisfy your craving for great Mexican cuisine at Tequila's Mexican Restaurant. Open Monday through Sunday from 11 until 9 at 408 Plaza Drive in the Southwind Plaza in Mount Vernon.
At Expressway Jeep, we're more than a dealership. We're your trusted Jeep service experts. Whether it's maintenance, repairs, or upgrades, our certified technicians know your Jeep inside and out. Convenient scheduling, expert care, and fast service keep your Jeep running like new. Expressway Jeep wants to be the go-to for Jeep service in Southern Indiana. Call 812-831-3333 or book online at expressway jeep.com. Just a short drive away from you, Expressway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram in Mount Vernon, Indiana.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mount Vernon Football Coaches Show. I'm Alan Duck, coming to you from 106.7 WMVI, mountvernonradio.com. Sitting here with Coach Justin Fisher. We've talked about South Spencer. I'd love to talk about that a lot more, but we're going to move on, talk about the upcoming game against Princeton, and it is at Princeton. We've been home for a couple weeks, but now we go to Princeton, and what do you know about them? They've always got some real good athletes in the specialty positions, and they've got a special one this year.
They do same thing. It's kind of similar to what you see each year. I think they're better this year. Their record and schedule indicate that. They won their first two games and then dropped their third game against Heritage Hills, but they did actually score on them early on in the game, the second quarter. And then last week they were ahead and almost beat what we feel like is a decent Washington team too. So they're setting a 2-2. They got beat on Friday night, 38-35, in a high-scoring game at Washington. As you mentioned, just a few things about them. They have, I think, 13 seniors and 13 juniors, which is a pretty good number. And the main kid they have is a running back, defensive back, number one, last name Pope. Oh, I think is one of the best probably athletes and best running backs in the conference.
He's got quick side-to-side speed, but also straight-line speed. That's a tough combo.
He's an impressive kid. And then they have a kid last year, another senior, Dre Cox is his name. He played a little quarterback. He's also running back, has really good speed for him too. So we'll have to be disciplined on defense and to make sure those guys don't get loose and have some long touchdown runs on us.
How big is their offensive line?
They're decent size. I feel like once again from watching them, that should be an advantage for us. Would be the fact that we
you've got a good combination of some good size plus some quickness off the defensive line too. When you put in a guys in the middle, sometimes Kalen Harris goes in there,
played a little bit for us. I think Jaden Radley's been doing a really good job for us on the defensive line. Noah Barrett's a senior who came out this year, we're trying to work in the mix. He's very much a hustle kid, and then Trevin Bell also plays a little bit of defensive line for us too.
And then you've got Krieger sneaks in there from his linebacker position, but he provides a burst and Schickel off the one corner, and those guys are very good contain while still being aggressive going after the tackles.
Yeah, and so we feel like we should hold an advantage this week. No disrespect to Princeton, they have some good athletes, have had a good season thus far. It's a game like we feel like we should take care of business, but it's also, like we talked about before, be confident as a team, as coaches, as players, but also have the humility to know that if you're not at your best, then anything can happen any week, and especially when you're talking about high school football.
Exactly. And yeah, it's, the key to stopping those running backs is don't let them get going, because once Pope in particular, when he's in open field, he turns the play into backyard football, and oh my gosh, how do you get a hold of the guy and tackle him?
Well, not only is he a very quick runner, he's a very determined runner too. He runs very hard too. That's probably one thing I've been impressed with him as much as anything this year when I watch him play.
Yeah, you got one of those too. I mean,
we have a couple of them. Yeah,
a couple
you're
of them.
Right.
So you're used yep. to battling that in practice. But how are their receivers? Because they certainly are not a one dimensional team. I wouldn't think
they're capable. The quarterback's a decent athlete, and then they have some guys on the edge, a couple upperclassmen too who can move. So I would say the strength of their team offensively. They're probably a little better on offense. They got some good athletes. You know, it's a game where, you know, if we're at our best, we feel like we have a good chance to be successful. But at the same time, they're dangerous enough and possess enough athletes that if we're not where we need to be, then we could find ourselves in a ball game.
So are we looking at a slugfest this weekend, like a 42-35 kind of an affair?
Well, if it is, then you might see one individual who – has a large hand in the defensive part of it, pretty animated on the sideline. So, you know, we're going to try some different combinations of people to try to continue to build depth and experience. But, Alan, you never know, because their athletes are good enough where if you're not concentrating, you're not focused, then strange things can happen. So to your point, we have to be better and have a good week of practice. And like you said, the standard is kind of what it is. It doesn't matter who you're really playing.
Exactly. And you've said several times this season, your best defense is your offense. Mm-hmm. And if you can keep their offense off the field, because it sounds like their best part of their game is offense too. If you guys can keep them off the field, problem is you score so darn quick.
Right. Well, I would like to see us run the ball and develop that physicality more. So hopefully this week we'll get a chance to do that. I think that's going to be imperative for us as we go down the second half of the schedule. That's where I think our strength lies as a football team potentially. You know, every team we're going to play is going to have good skill kids. South Spencer had some guys that were capable. Mm-hmm. I think our advantage lies within our offensive line continuing to gel, and that's where I think we have a separation over some of these teams as we come down the home stretch here.
Is it fair to say, I've always believed this, that when you're going forward, i.e. an offensive line that's pushing the defense, you don't get as tired as a defensive line that's going backwards and getting punched in the
Absolutely.
Mouth all the way down the field.
No
so
doubt.
If you guys can control that line of scrimmage and whether it's, you know, 4 to 6 yards of play on the ground, wear them out and take their will.
Yeah.
Because you guys have that determination to win.
We think that we're capable. We've done some good stuff on the offensive line. We just feel like we haven't fully reached our potential. You know, I mentioned Lewis Allen, and I think it was Nate Tinsley. But you know, Timmy's probably talented. He's capable. You know, caliber being all conference offensive line when he's locked in. You know, Jake Leader and Lewis Allen been splitting time. Bryce Bourne's done a nice job for us as a senior, and then I'm forgetting somebody there. Who am I forgetting there? Oh, Gavin Shue. We felt like Gavin is our starting left tackle. We felt like there were some times on Friday night that he didn't play up to his capabilities and what he has been doing, but he's a talented kid who's worked hard and gotten stronger. So I think that group has been better. I just think that, man, there's if just focus in and lock in, and I feel like, you know, we kind of talked about the word earlier, cleaner. I feel like if we could be a little cleaner up front, it's really – that's kind of what separated the Boonville game. We controlled the line of scrimmage, and that's why we were able – Boonville has good athletes, but we were better up front and were able to control the line of scrimmage. That's where football games are won, is at the line of scrimmage.
Absolutely. I was very relaxed in the first quarter of the Boonville game because your line was in control the whole way.
Right.
I don't know why you were so excited down on the sideline. From where I was sitting, it was clear.
Right.
But, no, that's just something that an advantage that you all had. And in recent years, though, you guys have had advantages over Boonville, and it hasn't paid out that way. On the other hand, they've had some advantages sometimes, and you guys have made it. I mean, it's just been a real tight matches with Boonville.
It has.
This year, you controlled them. That was a pleasant thing to see. Well, that's good. You guys are resting them a little bit, get them ready to go on Friday. This weather is just really peculiar. We're in middle September, and I think it's the broadcaster's jinx. We talked about how pleasant it was the opening night, the first time we've had a 75-degree day on opening night, and now here we're at 90s in September.
Yeah, it's not overly enjoyable, but hopefully we can get through this week and then maybe get a little break in the weather. And like we said, get the kids rejuvenated coming back on Tuesday and just be a little bit better in practice. And I think if we can, we have a chance to make some improvement here over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, being cleaner, it all starts right inside the helmet. I'd rather, you know, and you don't have a lot of empty helmets down here at Mount Vernon. I've seen teams that do, and I don't like coaching those kind. They're hard to work with. But
well, I think as a coach, it's important to try to think about what ways are you reaching kids as collectively as a group. What ways do you need to reach kids individually to get the most out of them? Like I said, it's a lot more art than necessarily science, and it's a continual thing that you try to learn and get better at. And I can tell you, it's challenging, but it's also fun and rewarding too.
Oh yeah, it's. You know, you got to treat them all equivalently, but not equally, because they're all a little different. But you got to, and like you said, you got to hit the hot buttons. That's just right.
Yep.
All right. Well, I will. I think it's a good. Team meal on Thursday night. Any kind of buses or anything going up, or team for students or anything? Or
we do not have a team meal this Thursday night. No, we do not.
Okay.
So we will have one next Thursday on the 25th.
All right. Game time up there. That's the question. I think it's 7 o'clock.
Game time at Princeton would be 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Depending on where you look at.
All right. Well, let's get up there and represent the community very well. These players deserve it. They have been working hard, and they're looking great. A lot of fun. Coach, we look forward to seeing the rest of the season. You're listening to 106.7, and good night to all good sports.
You've been listening to the Mount Vernon Wildcat Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This broadcast has been brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, United Fidelity Bank, Auto Car Trader, Crane Credit Union, Expressway Chevrolet, Bud's Hardware, the Mount Vernon M Club, Expressway Jeep, Team Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty, Russell's Excavating, Keitel Eye Care, GAF, and Tequila's. Keep up to date with Mount Vernon Sports on your home of the Wildcats, 106.7 WMVI and PoseyCountyRadio.com.